The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Migraine is the most common neurological condition in the world. One in seven people suffer from migraines in Ireland, we're told. It's also three times more common for women than for men. Now, we're joined by Orla Walsh, a dietitian. We've had her on the programme many times, but she also suffers from chronic migraines. Orla, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on. This is one of my favourite topics, for sure.
And even as we speak, you are suffering from migraine.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm aware of the lights in here, the heat of the room. I am struggling to find words, so I'll be speaking slower, which is not a problem because I usually speak too fast. So yeah, every day I suffer. I have neck pain currently.
At the moment, you have neck pain?
Neck pain, and it's the bottom of my scalp as well.
So you're a chronic sufferer of migraine?
Yeah, I was episodic, meaning that it came sporadically. And it, really in my early 20s, it could be dealt with quite easily. A cup of coffee and ibuprofen and I was good to go. Well, it just grew and grew. And by the time I hit my 30s, I suppose in some ways it was creeping on. So I didn't realise how bad it was until I met my husband. And he realised, actually, Orla, you're suffering most days with this. Can you go get seen? And I was still reluctant, I don't know why, to go and seek help. It's just a fault I have across the board. And then one morning I woke up and my eye had dropped and I had right-sided weakness. And I went to my GP. They thought I was having a stroke. I was rushed to Vincent's. I had CTs, MRIs, everything, and it wasn't a stroke, it was migraine.
Migraine. I mean, I don't think people are aware that it can be so severe. Now, the four stages of migraine, explain. I'll read them out. Prodrome, aura, headache and postdrome.
Yeah, so a migraine can be brewing and you know it's coming on. So this can be a whole host of different symptoms. One of my most annoying ones is that I yawn when I'm not tired. But I can also crave things. I can start to smell things just really intensely and hear things.
But you know now this is the beginning of a migraine.
I know it is. And that's why it's so hard to find your triggers for migraine, because it's brewing the whole time. Mm. And it's during this brewing stage, if you can imagine that you're 10 steps away from a cliff edge, and the triggers have the potential to bring you forward, and the cliff edge is where you fall into the full migraine attack. And for me and one in five migrainers, you get this aura where, for example, you might have flashing lights in your eyes or zigzags, and you know that a migraine's coming. It's coming imminently. And in most cases, you just seek a really cold, dark room.
Now, then it hits you with a bang. Now, what's the headache like?
So the headache is going to be different for everyone and different each time. But to put it in perspective, and this is the type of headache I get at least once a week. My second baby, I had her without any pain relief. I wanted an epidural and I didn't get one. And she was over 4 kilos, so over 9 pounds. And they didn't give me an epidural in time because I was so used to pain that they didn't realise the speed at which I was dilating. And now, pushing her out was more painful than migraine, but certainly migraine headache can be more painful than the contractions getting up to that dilation stage. So if the women are listening, that's the level of pain you're in, at least for me, once a week, maybe twice a week.
And then the postdrome, what's that?
The postdrome, it's a bit of like the hangover. And for some people, it's wonderful. And in my 20s, the hangover was beautiful. I felt extra happy, extra elated. Now, I would wake up in the morning, and really with my migraines, I associated with nearly a power cut where I'm lying there at night and all of a sudden I'm out for the count and you won't wake me even if you try. And the next morning I'll wake up and I'll have clenched the whole night. So all my muscles are very tired. I'll have nail prints on my hands from clenching, and my jaw will hurt from clenching my mouth as well with the pain as I sleep. But the next day, it's cloudiness. It's a bit like brain fog. And you just feel like you've done 10 rounds with a boxer in a ring. It just feels overwhelming.
Now, how long would your migraine have lasted? And is there a particular time of the day when it would actually attack most acutely?
Well, I suppose this is the brilliant thing about my migraine, is that although I suffer with it every single day, it doesn't get bad until the evening time. It's like it knows that my kids are down to sleep and now it can fully take hold. And that's great because it doesn't really influence my kids' lives too much, although they are aware of it, and it's never affected my work.
Tell me about the treatment, because obviously there's a lot of science and a lot of research into this, but No full answers.
Yeah, so there are preventatives that you can get, especially for chronic migrainers that are getting more than 15 days per month. And the preventatives are, most of them that are offered to people are ones where they're used for something else, but they discovered, oh, they also happen to help with migraine. And they would be the likes of beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, these antidepressants that work on pain pathways, as well as anti-epileptic or anti-convulsion meds. There are migraine medications that you can take when one comes on, with over 80% of people, well, certainly up to 80% of people get benefit from what are called triptans. And as soon as you feel it coming on, the earlier you take it, the better. And it just works wonders for people. It never worked for me because my migraines always firing. So it's a bit like trying to put out a house fire with a cup of water. You know, it wasn't going to work. But other people take pain meds. Now, you have to be super careful with the pain medication because you can take the likes of paracetamol, NSAIDs, so like ibuprofen, diaphine, aspirin. But the problem is there's one in particular, codeine, and most neurologists would be like, don't have it in your house. It works wonderfully for migraine, but it has the potential to trigger another. So all migrainers have to be super careful with how often they take pain meds, because there is a certain point that actually that pain medication is going to keep you in migraine and trigger more of them.
Now, Botox has a use in this regard.
Yes, and it's really, really effective. It's great. And it was a real game changer for me. Now, the downsides are, there are not many downsides. So a lot of the preventatives I told you about, there are downsides to it. But Botox, the only downside is now that I have to say to my kids, mummy's cross with you because I can't make a cross face. But I get Botox into my forehead, sides of my head, my scalp, my neck and my shoulders. And it has been transformative.
How long does that effect last?
Well, I get it done every 12 weeks and there is a cost to it as well. And it makes my eyelids a bit droopy, so I look sleepier, but it is transformative. And I'm lucky enough as well that I qualified for the CGRP injections, which is an injection I take every 4 weeks. And it helps with this thing called CGRP, which is released during migraine. And when you take these injections, it blocks them connecting to the receptors and really helps with the frequency, intensity,
and
duration.
You qualified for it. What do you have to do to qualify for this relieving injection?
You have to have other medications fail you. So I had tried a couple of other preventative medications. They didn't work and the side effects were too severe. So because my migraines were that bad, I qualified for the injection and the mega dose too.
It's expensive, I presume. That's why it's not given to everyone.
Exactly. Now, it only costs me €80 a month. However, there are other medications that I do take as well. I'm maxed out on everything, see, Pat? Yeah. And they're called Gepants. And I take them maybe a few times a month. And each one costs me €32 a tablet. So every time I have to take it, I always think, is it worth it? Or can I just go to bed?
And does it work?
It does work, but it's just the cost makes you hold back because my migraine already costs me thousands and thousands of euro a year.
It strikes me that you have what should be a long-term illness under the designation as such. Yeah. Are you covered in that way?
I am for the injections. My health insurance helps with the Botox, but the Gepants, no. I have to pay €32 per tablet for each one of those. But they do work wonders, and it means that I could attend a wedding and stay at it until the fun is over.
So many people looking to know about triggers, because one says, why is it if I eat chocolate or salty foods before bed, I have a severe migraine the following day?
Well, it's to do, you see, the migraine could have been brewing for days. And because there's a huge hormonal element to the migraine, we need to be careful with causation rather than correlation. So, for example, there might be more murders in summertime and you might eat more ice cream in some summertime, but they're correlated. One isn't causing the other. So, again, chocolate, it could be because that person's hormonal and the hormones are causing the migraine. But dehydration is important. So you do need to watch salt intake.
Now, you've tried everything, I presume. Paddy, the physiotherapist, says dry needling of muscles around the head and neck. I have a large cohort of patients who get great relief from that.
Yeah, I used to do dry needling a lot, but now it won't work. But for some people, it has helped. I've seen three different physios for migraine.
In my experience, health insurance companies are very hesitant to provide income protection to cover migraine sufferers, even when there's no evidence for work absences.
Yeah, but Yes, of course. And it does cost employers as well as the person a lot of money. It gets in the way of life. See, with migraine, it's not going to kill you, but it will make you miserable. Mm. And it does impact quality of life and ability to go about your day.
Another one. Thank God someone else has this. I thought I had a tumour in the back of my head. It was absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, I had a recent MRI again because I was like, surely this can't just be migraine. It's so, so bad. But it is just migraine.
Again, someone else saying migraines and myofascial headaches. Migraines can be prevented and treated with dry needling.
Yeah, and one thing's not going to work for everyone. Migraine is going to be a different story for every single person. But certainly hydration, sleep, making sure that your meals are balanced and that you're eating frequently are so important for a lot of people.
Another one. Please ask Orla if flashing pain for around 10 seconds is symptomatic of migraine. It's very distressing when it happens. That's from Kate.
It can be, but at the same time, you have to go to your GP with something like that. And especially if you've just, for example, started the contraceptive pill, especially the combined pill, that those sorts of symptoms, you have to let your GP know.
Another listener says, I had a very similar experience to your guest in my early 20s, sudden onset of speech loss and partial loss of vision. The GP sent me to A&E. This was when I was first diagnosed with migraines. For me, the aura and disturbed vision is the worst. Very debilitating and distressing condition. Often not fully understood by non-sufferers.
Exactly, and underappreciated. And that's one of the reasons why I came on here, because it's not just a headache. It's so much more than that. And it, in some ways, it would be a blessing if most people just suffered from migraine once they knew what other people were going through. But unfortunately, the only migrainers will truly understand what each other is going through.
Neural prolotherapy is the only thing that really worked for me. I wish we had practitioners here. Mine has retired, sadly, the wonderful Dr. Michael O'Connor from Kerry. That's from Tina. Another one. Can migraine be genetic? Three of my four daughters suffer from severe migraines. They are sporadic but unbelievably severe, starting with numbness, then loss of sight, vomiting, nosebleeds, and horrendous headache at all times. 48 hours in a dark room is the only solution, along with the pain medicine.
Yeah, so around 60% of people will be able to find their genetic link. Mine was by granny. She had issues with her trigeminal nerve. And I feel for these people. And the thing is, I have a 1, 3, 5-year-old of my own business. Going to bed isn't an option for me, and it's not an option for many people. So people often say that you just retreat to a room, and I'm like, well, who's going to mind the chislers? So it's about solutions, and thankfully lifestyle can make a big impact. And really, something's clinically significant if it helps 30% or more in terms of frequency and intensity and duration, and diet and lifestyle changes can do that.
Can you ask about sinuses and headache?
Yeah, so I recently went to the doctor and I was like, are you sure I don't have a sinus infection? And it turned out to be migraine. I went to two different dentists because I was having tooth pain and I'd never had cavities, but apparently it was just migraine after many x-rays. And ear pain, I've gone to the doctor so many times and they're like, Orla, your ears are clear. It is just migraine.
So the answer to every question you ask is always migraine.
Migraine and hormones, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that thing about hormones, is that why women are three times more likely to...
They think so, and that's why women have to be careful with what contraceptive pill they use. And then a lot of women will suffer from migraines for the first time in their 40s to 50s with perimenopause. But it is good to know that you can use HRT with great effect during those menopausal years if you have migraine. But again, it's worth going to a decent neurologist.
Someone not related to migraine, in relation to Botox, I'm really struggling with grinding and clenching of the teeth at night. Does Botox help? It does.
Yeah, they do. And it's just different muscles in the face, but they inject in there.
Interesting to hear you mention long-term illness scheme. Can you imagine that rheumatoid arthritis is not included in that scheme? And that's a terrible long-term condition. That's from John in Navan, who says simply no words. On migraine, check out gluten allergy can produce migraine severe symptoms. That's from Vincent. Now, you're a dietitian, so
I'm a dietitian.
I'm sure you've tried everything dietary.
I have. I've been screened for celiac disease because new onset migraine can be a symptom of undiagnosed celiac disease, which 1 in 75 people have, and 75% of people are unaware that they have it. So it is important to look at and chat to your GP about that, especially if you have a family member of celiac disease, because then you have a 1 in 10 chance of developing it.
Okay. And finally, we should, I suppose, summarise on the ongoing research. I mean, are there any glimmers on the horizon of finding the root cause, number one, and then finding a treatment?
Well, the CGRPs, what's interesting about them is they thought that you take them every 4 weeks and that it gets better and better and plateaus around 18 months. There's new studies coming out that suggest that actually it gets better and better and better and plateaus at 5 years. So there was research I was looking at this morning.
And so you have to keep taking that shot for five years.
Yeah, and one in two people can notice a 75% reduction in their migraines. So I just have to keep taking it and remain hopeful for the future. But between the Botox, the CGRP injections and the Gepants, I'm fully medicated. And
it sounds like a very expensive regime all told.
It is, but what choice do I have? And I am lucky that it only affects my social life and after 7 p.m. really. But I have no choice, so I just have to plough on and go forward.
And get on with it. Wow. What a story. Thank you very much. And I know you're not unique and you don't claim to be unique in this regard.
No. But I do know that diet and lifestyle is impactful. So I would encourage people to focus on hydration and balanced meals.
Alcohol?
Less is more. But, you know, I find that when
Have you found any correlation?
Yes. Like I wouldn't, if I have a bad enough migraine, I wouldn't go near red wine. But gin and tonic doesn't seem to have the same impact on me. So I lean into that a little bit more.
Small mercies. Orla Walsh, dietitian, thank you very, very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.